Το όνομα του Πατρός και του Υιού και του Υιού Πνεύματος, αμήν, δόξα ο Θεός, ελπίσιμον δόξας. Βασιλεύ, ουράνιε, παράκλητο, πνεύμα της αληθείας, πανταχού παρών και τα πάντα πληρών. Θησαυρός των αγαθών και ζωής, χορηγός, ελθέ και σκήνωσον ημών και καθάρισον ημάς από πάση κλείδος. Και σώσον αγαθέτας ψυχάς ημών. Through the prayers of our Holy Father, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen. We're on the seventh installment. The thing that Γέροντας Εμιλιανός talks about next is about humility, but not any type of humility. It's the humility, he talks about the humility that we willingly make ourselves exercise. And this is very important because without humility, we can't approach God. Love is very important, but also humility is very important. And of course, which one do you think that is the greatest virtue out of everything you've ever heard or you've ever thought? Any ideas? Who will tell us which is the greatest virtue? What do the fathers consider as the greatest virtue? Anyone?
Humility.
Good try, but it's not.
Is it love?
No, it's not.
This word is in Greek. It derives into many different English words, but philotimo?
All these are extremely important, but that's not what the fathers say it's the greatest virtue.
Is it courage? Bravery?
It's not.
Discernment?
It is. So the greatest virtue is discernment. And why that? Because you can have all the love on earth. If you use it the wrong way, you can destroy someone. And you can lead them to very big temptations. For example, if a father gives everything to his children without discernment, the only thing we achieve is to spoil them. And then they can just take everything for granted. But if you have a balance in what you give them, then it's different because they will start appreciating things. So, of course, love is extremely great, and we say that God is love, but discernment is the most precious virtue. That's why we've talked about King Solomon before. When God was pleased with him and he asked him, what do you want me to give you? What? I can give you anything. Solomon asked for wisdom, and God was pleased that Solomon asked for wisdom. Of course, afterwards he made mistakes, that's all right, but he asked for the right thing. This is the greatest virtue. And if you have discernment, you can direct your love the appropriate way, and you can be humble the right way. Because sometimes even being humble the wrong way, and I'll give you an example. If someone is a leader and he has under his leadership someone who's proud, if we humble ourselves in front of this proud person, we can make him a demon. That's not my words. That's I heard this from a great holy father of Mount Athos. So if a leader humbles himself in front of a proud person, he can make him a demon. What does this mean? This means that the people that they are like working for us in the working environment, or our spiritual children, or our children, they need to know their position. They can't just think that they're above everyone. And if we were to satisfy everything they ask for, we can spiritually damage them. we can lead them to the wrong path. We can lead them astray. That's why the ceremony is so, so important in everything. Do you understand that? Do you have any questions about that? So the ceremony is the greatest virtue. And we can say that Jesus, of course, gave his life for us, and that's out of love, but he gave his life the way that he knew it would help the humanity, not in any other way, just because he wanted to sacrifice himself. So the ceremony is the greatest virtue. But now Gerdas talks about the humility that we can practice ourselves willingly. So there are three very important things, which is the humility we talked about, and also when our heart is direct, straight in front of God, and also love. And this is where our spiritual life should be based. And this is like the governing steering wheel of the boat of our soul to guide us towards salvation. So what does it mean to humble ourselves willingly? It means that epignomonική ταπείνωση, it's how the fathers of the church call it. It means that I have knowledge of what I should do, and I humble myself accordingly. It's not just humbling myself in whatever way, but I humble myself in the way that I know, according to my knowledge, that this is the way pleasing to God, and this is the way that will get me closer to God. And we end up getting new knowledge out of this humility, because God increases our knowledge and we understand how to humble ourselves. So at the beginning we might have an idea and we think about it, and then we realize what we should do in order to humble ourselves in a way that we will be pleasant to God, and how to humble ourselves in order to go closer to God. For example, if I was to say, I'm a humble person, and to look humble, I should stop talking and practice silence. For me, it's easy because I won't have to talk and I never like talking, but I don't think that's what will benefit anybody else. And that's not because I think that my talks are beneficial, but it's because I know that what I'm transferring to you, it's not me. It's what I learned from my spiritual father. It's what experience I got through a lot of pain, and this is something that if you give it to others, it might help them. It's like a vitamin that can sort of help their immune system when they go through a weak period of time, when they go through tribulation and problems. So this sort of humility, the one that we willingly and with knowledge we practice, becomes an experience. It's not just a humble thing that I will do right now and that's it. It's not promising to God, my Lord, from now on I will be a humble person. I have to suppress, in a way, myself in front of others so that God's grace will dwell within me. Now, so this humility, it's like an experience. It's not that easy to be humble. So humbling ourselves willingly, we have to practice, to be able to do this, we need to practice for years and years. And then we understand, the more we practice, the more we understand how to practice humility, and we increase with the grace of God. So the one who is willingly humbling himself, he approaches a state that he is free. There is freedom in them. And he doesn't have to decide after a while that every time I have to be humble. He lives a condition of humility, which is full of wisdom. And his behavior is very wise and very unique. For example, you hurt me, and I will not be sad. I will not complain. I will not react. Instead, I humble myself. Or you praise me, and I do not feel pride. Or you don't love me, but I do love you. Or you are rude, and I'm praying for you. Or you deny me, and I say yes to you. Or you become hard, and I'm sweet. You ask me for something which is extremely difficult, and I say yes straight away. And I say, let it be blessed, and I start putting in practice, trying to fulfill what you asked me to do. So, you can insult me, and I will still feel that you're my brother, that I'm one with you. This is the deep humility. And this is how I will realize how much God loves me. And God will give me joy. And God will give me to conquer against my enemies, my passions, and myself. And he will give me his grace. This is what it is to humble yourself willingly. Anything about this so far?
How do you feel joy when you're humiliated, or how do you sit with that feeling of uncomfortableness when something like that is happening?
How say the second part again, explain the second part again.
How do you sit with the uncomfortable feeling when you're humbled, or when you feel like you're being humbled? How do you feel joy in that?
All right. How do you feel joy in humility, and how do you overcome the uncomfortable feeling from humbling yourself? All right. All the virtues, they don't exist by themselves. So let's say that you say something and it comes out in a way that it's hurtful for me. You tell me something, you might mean to say it like this or you don't, but it comes out in a hurtful way. If I'm not humble, I will get insulted, I will get sad, I will try to stay away from you, and all these things. But then we have to think, is Christ doing this when we sin? He's not. I would say that when we sin, he loves us even more, because sin is a proof that we are very weak. And when you have a sick person, you can't do anything else other than love him because he's sick. So this is what it is to understand the human nature, and this is what it is to have enough love to accept the other as he or she is, and this is what it is to embrace the other. So when you have enough love and understanding, then you won't be humbled. If anything, if you see that someone insults you, you know that he's tricked from the devil, and you won't attack him back. If you were to attack him back, he is attacked from the devil, he's attacked from you, so he's stuck in the middle, and you destroy the person, and you lose your peace. But if you think like that, what you will do is that you will embrace the other. And you will see that once you do that, you break the vicious cycle of animosity, and the whole thing disappears. The other person changes, and you're happy. But you have to be like, how can I put it, you have to be the bigger man. And not in a sense that you think you understand more, and no, I will be humble, I don't care. That's not caring about the other person. But in the sense that you understand that he has a problem, I have to not be insulted because it won't help anyone. He's attacked from the devil and all these things. Does it make any sense? And we need to know that some people, they don't mean to be rude. They don't mean to reject us. But I always have this picture in my mind. If you have a little bird and this bird is hurt, like it has a lot of wounds all around its body, if you try to catch it and put it somewhere safe, it will start screaming. This is because it's in pain. It doesn't react towards you. This bird is in pain. So the only reaction it can have is to scream. This is what happens when you try to approach someone who has problems. They're in pain. The only thing that they can do is scream. But that this has nothing to do with you. This has to do with whatever is inside them. And if we understand that, we don't take it personally, and we can be above the fact that this person is screaming against us, and we can still have a more gentle approach and help them. Anything else on that?